Ebenezer family and friends, these are some strange times. But I thank God for his grace and mercy and for the body of Christ. Yes, hopefully you caught that. There is a wolf in sheep clothing right beside me. We're actually going to be dealing with that within the scriptures today. So please be in prayer. Stay with us because God has a lot to talk about as we're in this series of distractions and fears. I just want to quickly thank you. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com and just all the things that the Lord has allowed Ebenezer to be able to do on our website, from having even an app to download to our phones, whether you're an iPhone or Android. We just thank God for those abilities. Also, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your support, your love. Since God loves a cheerful giver, and God loves it when we give and we purpose in our hearts. And it is for his glory. And I just love the Lord for what he has done via the body of Christ. And I just want to thank you again. And I want to encourage you that giving is not just monetarily. Whether you are using our Tithely app, or you are giving in our in-person services, or sending in our secure mailbox. But giving is actually just checking on people, loving people. That is another part of that, embracing. Some people would rather just get an embrace from you, especially in time of COVID-19, than you give them money. And so we have to be led of the Spirit, and God has made us givers. And I am just so glad to be a giver in this season of darkness that we're going to deal with in the scriptures. But God has made us lights in this world. Well, I want our hearts to be prepared as we get ready to dive in to today's message. And I want you to be in prayer, for our God is so, so good. Any amens out there? See you soon.
I'll be reading out of Romans 12, the 9th to the 21st. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saint, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I'm going to sing a song that when I heard it, it just broke me down to tears because of the words of the song. And the title of the song is I Speak Jesus. So y'all pray with me, please. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Listen to this part. Shout Jesus in the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Anybody know that Jesus will fix it every time? Any amens, you can put an amen in the chat. He will definitely fix it every time. Even in our trials, our struggles, our bad days, God is working it out for our good. Well, as we get back into this series of distractions and fears, I'll be honest, months ago when I started in this series, I knew it was important. Everything the Lord puts on my heart is important. But as our society is evolving, and I see so many things that are coming forth, and just seeing the masses being distracted and the masses being encompassed with fears, I just thank God for His word encouraging us. And I pray and believe that you have been blessed through this series. Been saying that 1 Timothy or that 2 Timothy 1:7 many, many times. And I pray that it is deep in your heart, because we need it. We all need this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that should be some hallelujahs. A sound mind. That is good to know that Christ dwells in us via His Holy Spirit to give us that sound mind. Before we go any further, I am just thinking and processing through the scriptures that we're going to go in. And it's some tough scriptures that we're going to be digging in today. But I'm telling you, the enemy is not letting up. And so our goal is to just be led of the Holy Spirit and to pull back much of the darkness that the enemy has just tried to bring upon the household of faith. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so, so much for who you are. I thank you for this day that you've made, Lord, and help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for putting this series, Distractions and Fears, on my heart, Lord, and given me all these scriptures to just go through and allow your Holy Spirit to minister to us as a flock, Lord. Lord, the enemy has brought so much darkness, not just in the external world outside of your church family, but Lord, also in the church, Lord, amongst the masses. So help us today, Lord, as you have shown and will show in your scriptures, to pull back, that your light can be shown in a powerful way. I pray for those who are listening, viewing, that are not saved. Please, Lord, help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised Him from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Lord, I thank you that they will really grasp today that it's by faith through grace or grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you, that they will receive that gift, Lord. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I pray you're ready to walk with us today. We're going to a new book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to focus in on that 13th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and that 13th verse. It reads, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." Told you we were going to dig into to pull back some darkness today, a lot of darkness. Listen to this again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the 13th verse. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." I want to speak from a title today, Deceitful Distractions. Deceitful Distractions. Now, as I think about this whole process, and we're going to be pulling forth Paul the Apostle as he's being led of the Holy Spirit to write this and minister to the Corinthian church. I was in my prayer time and I'm just reading a book, and one of those books I just really pulled in my heart to kind of introduce our subject matter today. John D. Berry, this Christian author, he wrote this. He says, "An unfortunate effect of our emphasis on God's grace is our dwindling focus on the connection between obeying God's will and receiving His blessings. If we're not living in the primary will God designed for us, then we will not be in the right place at the right time to do His work." Isn't that heavy? We want to be in the right place at the right time to do His work. And if we don't show up in the right moments as designed by God, we won't be in a position to receive the glorious blessings of the good works He intended for us. Wow. That's what we need to deal with today, deceitful distractions. We don't want the enemy to put something that's seemingly good, but in the midst of it, it is poison. The time frame today is AD 56. Paul the Apostle, being used wonderfully of the Lord, he actually starts this church in Corinth. Now, let me explain a little bit, 1 Corinthians, going back to it so we can understand. This is a letter that's written to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in response to some issues that were going on. It was a love relationship with Paul the Apostle, as God used him in a mighty way in the city, the area of Corinth, and this was a heathen place. They worshiped idols, all kinds of stuff was going on, but God and His power came in. Souls are saved. So it starts from a fledgling church, and the Corinthian church literally grows to be like a mega church or of that sort, at least within that time. God is using them in gifts of the Spirit. God is using them to really magnify and glorify the reason Christ came and died and was resurrected for them. But in the midst of that, and we all know, sometimes the enemy can come in and he can begin to mess with people's minds. And so some of the people began to be puffed up. They thought it was about them. They thought it about that it wasn't about really Christ leading anymore. But because Christ had saved them, then they could do what they wanted to do. And so in the midst of this, Paul the Apostle starting this church, and he saw that some of the congregation was actually turning against him. Now, Paul, remember, he goes to different areas. He's starting other churches, but he's always circling back, encouraging or sending letters to them. While he's away, this Corinthian church, there's a sect that begins to turn the mindsets, and they start to say, you know what, Paul the apostle is not all that. He's not really an apostle of the Lord, and the teachings that he did are really not the right teachings. And some are coming forth and saying, okay, we're the true teachers, and you need to follow us. Paul the apostle gets all of this, and first of all, he's hurt because he has given so much of his time. 18 months he was actually there ministering to them. He didn't take a dime from them. He was just building up the church, loving the church, sharing, giving them sound doctrine. Now he leaves and the enemy comes in, deceitful distractions. Now this is important to denote. I believe some of the toughest things that the enemy can do to the church is when he attacks our doctrine, when he attacks what we're actually doing within the midst of our fellowship. We understand he's at work on the outside. We realize that he is encapsulating minds, but sometimes we can let our guard down when it comes to what is seen as the church, you know, or preachers, or this what we think about as just gathering together, that we're safe. But I found out that can be some of the most dangerous places. And this is where Paul the Apostle wants to respond to what's going on in the Corinthian church at this point. Now, Paul the Apostle, you really get to see his heart here and his character as he is trying to really give them the information. He's defending himself in some ways, and you'll see a little sarcasm, a little cutting sarcasm. But in all of that, is not really to boast or lift him up. And he'll say, I'm going to boast, I'm going to do this. But it's really not about that. It's about he wants them to know that I gave 100% for you. I love you so much. How could you so quickly get caught up in these deceitful distractions? Let's jump into this section of 2 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here's our first point. The church without a spot or wrinkle. The church without a spot or wrinkle. Paul the Apostle starts out, at least in this section, chapter 11, he's telling them, my whole goal was to do it right, was to bring this fellowship together and get it centered on the Word of God and the teachings that he had brought forth and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In essence, I wanted to present you as a pure virgin. I wanted you to be truly the body of Christ. Saints of God, we've got to ask ourselves, are we truly the body of Christ that God wants us to be? Ephesians 5:27 even backs this up. It says that he might present her to himself a glorious church. You can put in the chat, glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, I found this challenging because when you think about the church as a whole, when you just talk about the church or people talk about the church, how often they talk about, man, she's so beautiful and so strong. The people are being used mightily of the Lord and our lives are being changed. Sadly, that is not generally the top of the list of talking. Sadly, it is other stuff or massive moral failures or issues. Just the other day, my kids brought some information. They're on social media and connected about some preachers and some hideous things that have been done. And all so that they can get likes or they can blow up. And it has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Personally, I believe it's deceitful distractions that have entered in. Paul believes that the Corinthian church, they have fallen to these distractions. The enemy had slipped in, and we must examine ourselves to make sure on a daily basis that we don't slide into these deceitful distractions of the enemy. Let me show you 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Once you get this, this is heavy, the simplicity that is in the Christ. This is the point. It must always be about Christ. it must always be about Christ. We can get caught up and distracted with so much stuff, things that seem good, as said before, but yet they just bring us to a dead end. I remember the other day, I was going through town and there was an accident, you know, ice and snow was happening and an accident occurred and all of a sudden all the traffic backed up. And so I decided I was just going to take a little right-hand turn and go through the neighborhood. I was like, man, I think I know this neighborhood. I hadn't gone through it many times, but several times and many years ago. And so I go turn into this neighborhood. I'm trying to use my sense of direction. I should have just brought up my GPS. Man, I was going around in circles. And the issue is, I was doing something good, but I kept seeing streets that said dead end. Yeah, and so I would turn on another street and it would go dead end. I was like, this community cannot have one way in and one way out. And that is the way it is with our lives. When we get away from a sound doctrine, when we get away from sound teaching, we'll find ourselves going down our path where you'll continue to see dead end signs. A German priest and a theologian, Martin Luther, he wrote this. Listen to this. Anyone who is to find Christ must first find the church. How could anyone know where Christ is and what faith is in him unless he knew where his believers are? Yeah, and so we really know since COVID-19, the church is bigger than just a physical building. We've taught that many, many years at Ebenezer. We realize that. Thank God for a physical building where the church can actually come and fellowship. But we realize virtually we're still the church because Christ dwells in us. And so when you think about your life, are people really knowing Christ because they know the church? They know you. They know the ones who have been saved, delivered, and set free. Or are they finding out more about the devil by meeting you than the true and living Christ? We're bigger. We're bigger. Please understand, as said before, than a physical building. But because of that, he has made us living epistles that wherever we walk, we are an example of him. When we're riding in our cars, we're supposed to be an example of Christ. When we're in our stores, we're supposed to be an example of Christ. When we're with our families, we're supposed to be an example of Christ. When we're looking at movies and entertainment, we're supposed to be an example of Christ. When we're on our jobs, we're supposed to be an example of Christ. And you've got to ask yourself, are you that example that Christ wants us to be, that pleases him, or have we gotten caught up in deceitful distractions? Jesus taught of his believers. Listen to this, Matthew 5:13. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, I love this because you can make a striking correlation with this. And many of us, we like salt. And some of us have high blood pressure because of using too much salt within our food. But we like that seasoning, the taste of that. Some of us even make cakes and you put a little salt and sugar in it and mix it up. It becomes more sweeter to the taste. And so the correlation, at least that we can make within our society here, that the salt, we're the preserver. We bring the flavor in. And so often I think that people don't want the taste that we're putting out because simply we are so mixed up and we're not as strong as we should be. We become more like the world than we become more like God. Jesus goes on in Matthew 5:14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Have you been a light in the house? Wherever you go, you heard of people when they walk in the room and say they light up the room. Why? Uses their personality and they're able to talk to people and they're able to move and connect and all of those things. They light up the room. But as a Christian, we should be able to walk in a room, not even say anything and light up the room because the anointing of God is on the inside of it. There ought to be some shouts. I have decided within my life, and I pray that you're making that decision, that wherever I go, I want to be a light for the Lord. I want to be able to change. If the enemy's in the place, I want to be able to change the atmosphere. If God needs to use use anybody in there. I'm God, use me, Lord. I want to hear his voice. We are that light, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Deceitful distractions. Paul the Apostle, he builds on this though. And this chapter has been tough for me over the years because I'm like, man, there's so much sarcasm in here where he's dealing with a lot of things. But when you dig in, you begin to see that the enemy was really working strongly within the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 11:4, he says, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached." Yes, within that Corinthian church, Paul the Apostle, remember, he's the founder of the church. He is loving the Lord with his whole heart. These people had a firm foundation, but all of a sudden he leaves and somebody rises up and starts to preach another Jesus. Or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, people were coming in and different spirits were being given out. Yes, it sounds crazy, but we need to look at our society, our people who are called believers in the church, and what kind of Jesus are they giving out, and what kind of spirits are people receiving, or a different gospel. Paul said, you've gone so much, the good news of Jesus Christ, him being crucified and him being buried and resurrected, it no longer, you have decided to make up your own good news, your own gospel, which you have not accepted. You may wear put up with it. 2 Corinthians 11:5, for I consider that I am not all inferior to the most eminent apostles. 11:6, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in not. Paul says, you know what? I didn't go to all your Ivy League schools, those that you esteem as the wonder schools. But I can tell you one thing. I have been trained by the Holy Spirit. The God of the universe has worked in my heart and he's used me in a mighty way. He says, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Paul the Apostle said, you yourself know how God has used us. You yourself know how God has used me and those that were with me to actually encourage you. And now you have gone astray. Here's the point. Think it through. Yes, think it through. Man, as I look at the internet, because we've got these virtual connections, and I see so many preachers and pastors and bishops and apostles and churches, different types and backgrounds, and there are a lot of good churches out there, but I want you to know there are a lot of crazy stuff that's going on, not just on the internet, but in our communities, in the United States, in the world, crazy stuff, and we've got to come to the point, just think it through. Some of the stuff I'm telling you, don't have to dig deep in the Bible to find out this is not of God. This is deceitful distractions. But so many times we have just gotten lazy. Remember last Sunday, we've gotten lazy in our choices. Let's go to a little place called Berea, and I want to show you the way we should be at Acts 17:10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness, and here we are, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Think it through. Think it through. In the chat, y'all just put search. If you're in your living room, say search, search. We got to search it out. We got to think it through. This is so, so important. The Berean said, I'm listening to you. I'm thinking it through. And my thinking through process is I'm going to search the word of God. I want to make sure what you're telling me is the real deal. Oh, we've got to stay in God's word daily. We've got Bible reading plans to get us there. But please understand, so many times we can depend on the commentary more than we depend on God's word. You got to get in God's word. We're not going to understand it all, but man, you get you a pencil and you get your paper or a pen or a device to write some notes down. I'm telling you, the God Spirit will speak to you and apply it to your situation. Are there any amens out there? The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our guide. He leads us into all truth. I'm talking about deceitful distractions. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:7. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Paul says, because I preached the gospel of God to you freely, free of charge.
2 Corinthians 11:8, I robbed other churches. He's being sarcastic in that, but he's bringing a powerful point here, taking wages from them to minister you. This hyperbole he's using, because as I said before, he had been there 18 months and he didn't take any wages from them. No, he did. He actually was at other churches, and the monies that they gave him, he was able to live in a way that he could actually build this church. And so now they couldn't say that he stole their money or any of that sort. He brings this out, 2 Corinthians 11:9, and when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. He says, I didn't burden anybody. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. 2 Corinthians 11:10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacias. 2 Corinthians 11:11. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows. Here's the point, and I pray that you kind of sip this out. True love. True love. Paul the Apostle, again, using this sarcastic term just to get the people to think. He's like, I do love you. That's what he's saying in here. He's like, I did all of this because I cared for you. I did all of this because I wanted you to be the most, that chaste virgin for Christ. But now you've allowed the enemy to bring in these deceitful distractions and to get you caught up on this chase of dead-end roads. Paul uses this point to bring back the thought to them that I passionately love you. See, when you've been saved and delivered and set free and you get into God's word, you want the best for believers. You want them to grow. You want the flock to become powerful in the Lord. Why? Because God produces a passion and love on the inside of you, because God is love. It's not just all about us growing, but it's about wanting other people to grow, other people to become strong. And I've been excited these years being at Ebenezer just to see people grow and love God's word and apply the word to their lives, and to produce that word produces peace that goes beyond all understanding, to help us through our struggles and our issues. I'm talking about being able to sift through the deceitful distraction. True love produces itself in a way that the body of Christ, as said before, becomes that light, that glowing light that people are actually drawn to, that souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. There's a portion of scripture that I've always found striking within the scriptures, and it's very applicable what we're talking about, Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Do you sense that? I love this scripture, because when I look at our society, do you sense that there seems to be so many people that are just confused? They're just caught up. It's almost like dead men and dead women walking zombies that are around, and you can see it by their choices, the way they live, the way they carry themselves. Matthew 9:37. Then he said to his disciples, this is the heavy part, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Man, this is actually one of the things I put in my prayers every morning, because I realize that the harvest is so plentiful, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:38, it says, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Oh, you got to pray, church. Would you put in the chat and in your homes or wherever you are, say, pray. God, help me to pray, pray, pray. Because I'm telling you, there is a responsibility in our society now. When we see United States and this Ukraine stuff that's going on, and we see China issues and this COVID-19 variants that are just going from this to that, I'm telling you, it's time to pray. It's been time to pray. When we see homicide rates that are going up, when we see people not not being able to get along, not just at low levels, but high levels. When we see things falling apart, infrastructures that are exploding, I am telling you, it's been time to pray. We need to pray. We need to live and realize deceitful distractions have attacked the church. Now, this is important. If the enemy can push back the church, then he can bring even more darkness in and more souls will be taken to hell. But I am glad for the church that the church is strong. We've just got to trust him. Look at this last section of scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. 13th verse, for such are you with me? False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 14th verse, and no wonder, Paul the apostle writes, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. 15th verse, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Final point, fakes. Yes, fakes. I told you this was a tough scripture. It really digs deep because we don't like to talk about this. I am telling you, the enemy has moved in to what we see as the church so many times. And he's been a fake. He's been a hypocrite. He's worn a mask and people have gotten caught up. He's got a big following around him, or she's got a big following around her. And all of these things are hinged on, they have gotten away from God's word. They've allowed deceitful distractions to come in. I believe some of these teachers and preachers and pastors started out with good intents, but along the way they lost their path. They stopped praying. They got away from God's word. They started to move more to more people than actually getting deeper into God's word. They started to move more to an entertainment and a feel-good experience, and instead of telling people the truth, the totality of God's word. Fakes. In our world, there are so many people that are being used by the enemy. An anonymous author actually captures what's going on. He says, evil, we all know, could never tempt us if we saw it simply as it is. Disguise is essential to its power. It appeals to man through ideas and hopes which he cannot but regard as good. That's heavy here. I've been reading a book on this particular bishop. His name was Athanasius. That's a big one. Athanasius. He actually lived around 300 AD. Now, what struck me about this, it was kind of really tough to kind of read about his life, but he was all about doctrine. He was all about the accuracy of God's word being taught to God's people. And he would stand up to the kings of that time in the area, the Greek area. And because of that, he would be ostracized and he was actually excommunicated. He was put outside. The king actually kicked him out of the country several times. But the people were so in love with the teachings that he had, which were true to God's word, they continually wanted him to come back. And over, I'm talking 50-year span, he would go in and come out. And it says that he was so critical to the house of faith, staying on track, understanding what the God of the Holy Spirit is all about, and of Jesus and the Father, the Trinitarian God. He was so accurate and being used in a prophetic way. And saints of God, I believe God wants to use us now as we get in our God's word. We can carry it around on our smartphones, and we've got our iPads and our Androids. Oh, there is no excuse for understanding God's word. But so often we've lent ourselves from the word of God to entertainment. Yes, we've lent ourselves to all of this other junk that when the sheep come together, we can get caught up. And because of that, we have not been strengthened the way God would have us to be. We're not standing the way God would have us to be. Jesus taught this in Matthew 7:15. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. I told you we were going to talk about them. I'm telling you, can I read that again? Come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. It is amazing how we can see some of our leaders with bad fruit, but yet we just want to bury that bad fruit and not talk about it. Please understand, that came from the tree. You got to deal with it. Matthew 7:18, Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. 20th verse, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. I'm talking about deceitful distraction. That's why it's so important as we stand the word that we've got to hold up the true gospel that Jesus came from heaven to earth, walked among men. He healed the sick and he raised the dead, but he didn't stop there. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, cried out for us, and he came to that conclusion, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He was beaten and bruised and spit upon him, thrown into a mock trial. But I'm so glad that Jesus carried the cross for us. Are there any shouts of praise down that Via Della Rosa? Jesus carried my cross for me, and he hung him high on that cross, nails in his hands and nails in his feet at Calvary. There he carried our griefs and bore our pains. But I'm so glad that the story is not over. On that cross, he cried out, it's finished. They took his limp body off the cross and put it in a cold grave. But I want you to know the good news is that 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we could have his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And even now, he's interceding for the saints so that we cannot get caught up in these deceitful distractions and fears that are coming against us. And I'm telling you, this is our day, saint. There ought to be some praise. This is our time that we can get into God's word and grow stronger. We can pray more. We can seek him. We can praise him. We can lift up our hands more and more and walk in all that God has called us to be. Saints, let's stand for Jesus. The enemy has stepped up his attack. It is obvious. Just got to think it through. We've got to open up our eyes and realize God has called us for a time such as this. If you don't know him, first and foremost, please accept him as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Man, receive that grace today. For the saints, I want to pray for us all that we get into God's word more for ourselves. Man, we really get in, dig in and say, God, show me, Holy Spirit, lead me, God. He will. Man, he wants to use you in your territory, the area that he's placed you in. Oh, to do a wonderful, wonderful work. Would you agree with me with that? To God to use you for a wonderful, wonderful work. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for Paul the Apostle being so blunt. You using him in a way that really got close to that Corinthian church that he cared and loved so much, that you love so much, Lord. Father, we can often just find ourselves on a dead-end road. But Lord, I thank you for your scriptures that keep us on the right path. Lord, I just praise you for being a miracle God. I praise you for the souls that will be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. I praise you for the saints, oh, that have been edified today, Lord, that want more of you, Father God. They want more of your word. Oh, God, help us not to get caught up in deceitful distractions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Attendeth my way when sorrows like sea billows roar.
awareness of this glorious thought. My sin not in part,